today's agenda, Paul goes from Troas to Miletus. He addresses the Ephesians. He gets arrested in the temple, and he makes his defense before the people. He tells of his own conversion. You notice how that ties his experience in with the audience. A very good idea. Paul's call to the Gentiles, Paul in the custody of the chief captain, Paul goes before the council. Then there's a plot against Paul's life, and Paul sent to Felix, the governor. So here we go. The voyage from Troas to Miletus, Acts 20, verse 13. And we went before to ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul, because he had appointed us, minding himself that he would go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in, and we came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and came the next day over to Chios. And the next day, after that, we arrived at Samos, and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia. He was in a hurry, you see, if it were possible for him to make it to Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. When the churchmen had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all that time, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations and trials which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how that I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, but I have showed you all things, and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing what things shall befall me there. But the Holy Spirit has said to me to be a witness in every city, saying that both bonds and afflictions are coming." Bonds meaning chains. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I have preached the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise and speak perverse things, and draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, night and day with tears. Every one of you I have warned. Now, therefore, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. It gives you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have not coveted any man's silver or gold or clothing. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have ministered unto my own necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, and how that so laboring you ought to support yourselves and support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had spoken thus, he kneeled down and prayed with all of them. and they all wept sore. And they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. Then they accompanied him unto the ship. And it came to pass that afterwards we were gotten away from them and launched, and we came with a straight course to Cus, and the day following to Rhodes, and then to Patara. Finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed to Syria. We landed at Tyre, for there was a ship that was laden and ready to be unloaded. We found disciples and stayed there for 7 days. And of these people, the Spirit said to Paul that he should not go up to Jerusalem just yet. So when we had accomplished those days, we left and went our way. And all they brought us on our way with wives and children until we were out of the city completely. And we kneeled down there on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and then returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren there and stayed with them 1 day. Then the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea and entered into the house of Philip, and we abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, all which did prophesy. And as we stayed there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when Agabus was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet with it, and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this belt, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard all of this, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, Wait a minute, whoa. What do you mean, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready both to be not only bound, but to die in Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, Let the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and our packages and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain disciples of Caesarea and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the following day, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were there with us. And when we had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought to the Gentiles through Paul's ministry. And when they heard of it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which now believe, and they are all zealous for the law. And they are informed of you that you teach all the Jews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children or walk according to the other customs. What is this you're talking about? The multitude must come together, for they will hear that you're come here. So you're in danger. Do this, therefore, we say unto you. We have 4 men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify yourselves with them, and be at charges with them, and pay their bills, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they have been informed concerning you are not true, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled meat, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, encountered them in the temple and accompanied them. And this they did to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be made and offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were in Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on Paul, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the one, this is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people of the Lord and against the law. And he does it here in the temple." And further brought they Greeks into the temple and has polluted this holy place. For they have seen him before, that they saw him also in the city of Trophimus, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together and took Paul and drew him out of the temple and forthwith shut the doors behind him. And as they were about to kill him, tidings came to the captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. This captain immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them, and when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul. Then the chief captain came close by and took Paul and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, and among the multitude. And when they could not figure out for certainty why this tumult had occurred, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he had come up the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers, carried, in other words, for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people were crying after him, "Away with him! Away with him!" And as Paul was led into the castle, he said to the chief captain, "May I speak to you?" And he replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not that Egyptian which in times past made an uproar and led people out into the wilderness, about 4,000 men that became murderers?" But Paul said, "I am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. I beseech you, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given his permission, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand to the people, "Come here, come here, come here." And when there was a great silence, he spoke unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, "Men and brethren, fathers, hear my defense which I make now unto you." And when they had heard this, and knew that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept silence. And he said, "I am verily a man that is a Jew. I was born a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers. And I was zealous for God, as you all know, and just as zealous as you are to this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering men and women both to prison, as also the high priest can bear witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren." You guys all know this. "And I went down to Damascus to them which were bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come to Damascus, it was about noon, and suddenly there shone round about me from heaven a great light. And I fell off my horse and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who's talking? Who are you, Lord?' And he said unto me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' And they that were with me saw the light and were afraid, but they didn't hear the voice. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told you all of the things which you are appointed to do. And when I could not see because of the bright light, and was blinded for 3 days, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which were there, came to me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked upon him and said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will and see that just one, Jesus, and hear his voice. For you shall be his witness unto all men of what you have seen and heard. So why delay? Arise and be baptized, wash your sins away, and call on the name of the Lord. So it came to pass that when I was come again into Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him say to me, Make haste and get you quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat every one in the synagogue, them that believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing right by there, consenting unto his death, and I kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send you far unto the Gentiles. Then the chief captain and those in the audience gave heed to this word and lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out, they cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air to try to make attention drawn to themselves. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and then said that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know why all the people cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion that stood there, Is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman citizen uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went in and right away told the captain and said, Take heed what you do to this fellow, because he's a Roman citizen. Then the chief came in and said unto him, Tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, Yes. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum of money I obtained my freedom. But Paul said, I was born that way. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. On the next day, because he would have known the certainty whereof he accused, or the Jews accused him, he loosed him from his bands, and then commanded the chief priests and all their council to show up, and brought Paul down and set him there before them. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, and said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded that those that were right beside him should hit him in the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit in judgment against me after the law, and then command me to be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, Are you reviling God's high priest? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. But when Paul perceived that one of the groups was the Sadducees and the other the Pharisees, he cried out to the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. It's of the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confessed both. And there arose a great cry, And the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove amongst themselves, saying, We find no evil in this man, for if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let's not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief priest, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they should neither eat nor drink until they have killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had done this. And they came to the chief priests and the elders and said, We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will not eat or drink anything until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, you with the council signify with the chief captain that we should bring him down here unto you tomorrow, as though we might inquire more perfectly concerning him, and we are ready to kill him on the way. So they laid in wait for Paul, and when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, Bring this young man to the chief captain, for he has a certain thing to tell him that's important. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto himself and prayed me to bring this young man to you, who he says has something very important to tell you. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, What do you have to tell me? And he said, The Jews have agreed to desire you that you should bring Paul down tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire something more perfectly of him, but do not yield to them. They lay in wait for him, and there are more than 40 of them which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And they're looking for a promise from you. That's why they're coming. So the chief captain then let the young man go and charged him, saying to him, See that you tell nobody else about these things at all. And he called him two centurions and told them, Make ready 200 soldiers. Go to Caesarea, and the horsemen 70, and spearmen 200. And at the third hour of the night, provide them horses that he may set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix, the governor. So he wrote a letter after this manner, Claudius Lysias, unto one most excellent governor Felix, we send our greetings. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed by them. Then I came with my army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known what cause they accused him of, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions about their law, but have nothing to lay to his charge worthy of death or bonds. So when it was told me how the Jews had laid wait for the man, ready to kill him, I sent straightway to you and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before you what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatrius. And on the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came into Caesarea to the governor, presented Paul before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, he said, I will hear you. And when your accusers get here, we'll start the proceedings. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall.